You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 26 August. I'm Simon Brown, coming you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Keith McLachlan talking the master drilling results that came out yesterday. Travis Robson, the Dow Jones changes three of its 30 stocks, and talking biggest decisions investors will make, choosing an annuity product at retirement. This show is proudly sponsored by FMI, a division of Bidvest Life Limited. Make your impact, protect your income first. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not reflect the views and opinions of FMI. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb: immigration to be based on tax residency test from next year. And Business Day, Lewis leaps as it plans to step up share buybacks, looking to buy back 10% of its shares at what is all-time lows for that particular stock. Morning markets, US markets were green overnight. The S&P 500 up 0.4%, the Nasdaq up 0.8%. Asia is red, Sydney off 0.9%, Tokyo down 0.3%. Commodities mixed, with gold at $1,933 an ounce, Rand 16.79, and opening market call, we're looking for a green open, but 0.1%, so very modestly green.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Keith McLachlan. He is a fund manager, Alpha Asset Management. Keith, morning. Appreciate your time. Master drilling, it was 6 months ending June. Revenue off about 18%. They report in US dollars. Profits down 46%. Headline earnings down 41%. I suppose in a sense, you know, they're drilling holes for the mining industry. This was, much of the industry was shuttered for probably most of those, half of those 6 months. I suppose this is the sort of results we would expect under some pressure. We'll talk about the highlights, but a tough 6 months for them.
Morning, Simon. Absolutely. So, and this interim period is really difficult to judge any company over, because it almost has two halves. You know, you've got the first half where you're starting and you think you're operating normally, and then the second half where lockdowns are hitting in various parts around the world. Now, master drilling is quite diversified geographically, but that doesn't help you when the entire planet Earth gets hit by a pandemic. And particularly out of the South American operations, the lockdown and disruption to the mining side hit them particularly hard. But, and you know, the IFRS numbers are one thing. It's quite interesting to see over this period how quickly and agile management teams have reacted to these sort of disruptions. And master drilling is case in point, because although the IFRS numbers are down, its cash generation doubled. So what they did very, very quickly was they reined in expansionary capex, focused on pure operational cash generation, you know, controlled their discretionary spend in terms of OPEX and the like. And what you actually saw from the cash flow statement was a fantastic result.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And it really is. How are management responding? How are management doing in this time? And what we saw with Master Drilling is their ability to really pull back on that spending. And you know, I suppose that's largely for them. It's going to be new equipment. It's going to be new big rigs and the like. And they can manage that, and they can work those levers. Do we get any sense of how they've been performing post the period end? In other words, sort of July and what, we are just over 3 weeks into August.
So, yes and no. I mean, the future clarity at this point is particularly low, but their order book is quite stable and, in fact, quite promising in certain areas. I mean, for example, and people don't think about Europe as an exciting growth place, but the European operations have some very, very good orders in the pipeline. You know, going into Canada and North America as well, like they're expecting relatively soon to break even in those geographies, which are also new expansions as well. And then Africa's actually been performing very, very well. So, and don't forget the disruption in South America over the previous 6 months Will that continue over the next 6 months? At this point, it doesn't appear that way, even though things are quite challenging. So one gets the sense that they're performing very well, but I want to go back to that last point where we spoke about cash generation, and I need to emphasize that. So Master Drilling listed about 8-9 years ago, and they focused on expanding their fleet, automating and digitizing their fleet, and in fact moving and growing into new territories. All three of those things they've done very successfully, but they've consumed a huge amount of cash. What we haven't seen is Master Drilling not focusing on growth and focusing on cash generation, which we saw only half of during this period. So the moment we exclude expansionary capex, the share is actually trading on about a 50% free cash flow yield, so annualized. So in other words, you're almost getting your money back in 2 years at this price. This is a kind of indication of the value inherent in this sort of stock.
Yeah, it is. And I know you've held this stock in your fund for a while. I know we've had lots of conversations around it. You know, but it's sitting as you know, one of the truly cheap stocks on the JSE, and yet the market just doesn't seem interested. It's one of those sort of unloved gems, and nothing seems to get it moving.
So it could be a combination. I mean, bear in mind, listed on the JSE means you're listed in the emerging market, which is not super fashionable at this point. You're also a small cap, which is not super fashionable at this point, and you're actually a value play, so that's not super fashionable at this point. So you really got the trifecta of out of fashion at this point, you know, as opposed to big tech listed in America. All of that said, a little bit of work into Master Drilling just revealed the inherent value here. This is not a South African company anymore. Yeah. You know, you're a globally dominant business with a automated or semi-automated fleet that is global and about three times the size of your nearest competitor, with massive tailwinds of deep resources just driving increased utilization across the world, really, of your services.
Yeah, and that's a fair point. They really are global. They report in US dollars, but the market seems to not be interested in that. And certainly the global markets use it as an EM stock. It's not an EM stock. It is a global stock. Keith McLachlan, you find him fund manager, Alpha Asset Management. Appreciate your time.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Got Wayne McCurry on the line. He's FNB Wealth and Investments. Wayne, appreciate your time. A bunch of results out yesterday, but two points I particularly want to touch on. Showing some confidence perhaps into the future. Lewis planning to buy back 10% of their shares. I mentioned in the intro, the stock is at all-time lows. That makes some sense, but it also shows that Lewis management is saying, you know what, we've got cash flow, we've got some money here, and frankly, this is a place to deploy it, rather than perhaps burying their head in the sand and just being terrified.
Look, the results that they came up with yesterday, I mean, revenue up, gross profit margin was maintained reasonably well. Obviously, the earnings are down, they're down 58%, but they're paying you a dividend, and as you said, they're buying back shares. And when you consider that, you know, what can you do with your money? Give it as a dividend? Well, they're giving some of that. You know, you maybe don't want to buy anything, because quite frankly, buying your own company and buying your own shares is the best way you can deploy this. I mean, the share's down 80-odd% in the last 5 years. And also, as you said, it's at record lows. Mm-hmm. It just seems logical to do that, quite frankly, if you have the resources. I bet you there are many companies who'd love to buy back their shares, just can't do it.
No, they just can't do it. And it's doing it at the right point. I remember some large mining stocks buying back shares at the peak in sort of 07. That was, you know, crazy, but at the right price, at the right place. This is, you know, in 5 years' time, you're going to look at that and think, yep, that was inspired.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, we saw the same out of Itatal, who had results, and I thought the results actually weren't too bad, all things considered. And they're continuing with their capex. It is the full year, so only sort of a quarter of it was sort of the lockdown. But you know, considering lockdown, considering the level of sort of impact on their business, the numbers came out quite solid.
I think so as well, actually. So when you look, they also giving you a dividend. You know, it's that dividend, everything's down 20%. You know, mm-hmm. the earnings are down, the headline earnings, everything's down 20%. And you've got lots of companies where in the 6 months to June, earnings disappeared or halved. So even when you do the maths, it's not actually a bad set of results at all, as you said. And you would think that hopefully, if we don't go into a second phase of lockdown, that the worst is behind us as far as the economy is concerned. Of course, it's going to take, I've heard numbers, 3 years, 4 years to recover to where we were last year in respect of economic output. We'll have to see. But, you know, exactly the same as what we saw with Lewis, in the shares up quite strongly, up 8%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, market's really, really liking some of these numbers.
Yeah.
A lot of stock that was coming out yesterday, Imperial Logistics. I was always taught when I was a young whipsnapper a long time ago that logistic companies were really about GDP. Obviously, GDP disappeared in the second quarter. We'll get that confirmation from the Stats SA in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah,
it's going to look really ugly. But in a sense, is it almost like the worst is behind them? Back to your point, you know, assuming we don't go back into level 5, level 4 lockdown, which I think we can probably say is highly unlikely,
we should
see significant rebounds by some of these stocks and Imperial, perhaps one of them, as things start to happen again.
You would think so. I mean, it's going to take, obviously, a very long time. I mean, you look at the two other results that came out yesterday, Sun International,
and
they go from like a 1 rand profit to a 7 rand or whatever loss. I mean, massive. And then Supergroup, which is not that dissimilar to Imperial, you know, their earnings also just disappear. So the Imperial Logistics one, of that sort of grouping, actually wasn't all that bad, the results there.
At last quick point, Dow Jones is making changes. Dow Jones is about the weirdest index in the world. It's a price-based index. It changes seemingly as and when it wants. There's no formula. But what we are seeing is, you know, ExxonMobil heading out, Pfizer heading out, and bringing in the likes of Salesforce. I suppose this is the continual changing of the guard from the old-school companies to the tech.
Yes, it has to be. And of course, I mean, the Dow was set up in the days pre-computers and calculators, so it was easy to calculate. You just added those share prices together with no weighting, and you got an index.
Yeah.
You know, that's how simple it was. But obviously, it's got to adapt because it is still, you know, an index that people look at, although obviously, over time, the market-weighted index indices will start to dominate. But yeah, they've got to change it. You know, they've got to change the composition of it.
Yeah, it's always just been, it's a head scratching, but I take your point. When it was developed, they were probably doing it with pencils and paper, literally.
Yes.
Wayne McCurry, FNB Wealth and Investments, appreciate your time this morning. When you protect your monthly income against the risk of injury, illness and death, you protect your future and the impact you make on those around you. FMI has been protecting South Africans' income for over 25 years, constantly innovating to provide greater claim certainty and cover for more occupations than ever before. Make your impact, protect your income first. FMI, life done better. FMI, a division of Bidvest Life, is a licensed life insurer and authorized financial services provider.
Business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb Now
with Simon Brown.
On the Money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Born Ludwig. He's a longevity actuary at Just SA. That's going to be one of the best titles I've heard. Born, I appreciate your time this morning. I want to talk around picking annuities. Before we get to that, you know, we're in the first pandemic, you know, literally in 100 years. I suppose there's a lot of temptation to sort of knee-jerk and change our processes, our strategies around investing, retirement, annuities. The truth of the matter is that even if a pandemic is a once-in-a-century sort of process, we actually need to have strategies that are resilient and able to manage these. We shouldn't be sort of making sudden changes because of events happening on the day.
Good morning, Simon, and thanks for having me. Yes, it's very important that you don't panic and you don't rush those decisions. And basically, we're just saying go for certainty in this time of uncertainty. And if you do that, you have to consider a guaranteed life annuity.
Yeah, and that's the point. I mean, you make the point, and this is something which it often ponders me. There's a lot of, as we are building our retirement nest egg, there's a ton around assisting us with that. Then we get to that giant decision, which is, you know, now our pension, our provident, our retirement annuity is paying out. We now got to go and get an annuity product. And oftentimes my sense is that there's almost a lack of support when we get to what is going to be the biggest decision in our life.
I mean, I fully agree, and it's always good to speak to your advisor, of course, but this is such an important decision, and for me, it's simply this. You're deciding what income you're going to have for the rest of your life. So it's like you're replacing your salary when you were working and now you're retiring. So you must really look at those, at that decision, and there are a few options available, but I hear you're going to ask me about some of those options available.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big decisions is guaranteed versus living, and there's pros and cons to both. I often wonder if perhaps it isn't maybe a blend of, or is blending guaranteed versus living perhaps a bit of a cop-out?
That's a good question. So let me talk through that. Traditionally, there have been two main types of annuities to choose from at retirement, a life annuity or a living annuity. A life annuity, also known as a guaranteed life annuity, offers secure lifetime income no matter what markets do or how long you live.
Mm-hmm.
A living annuity is essentially an investment account from which you withdraw income within certain limits. It offers more flexibility but doesn't guarantee that income will be paid for life. Another blended annuity offers a nice combination of both these, so life and a living annuity, which therefore gives you the best of both flexibility but with a secure income underpin.
Yeah, that and I like that. You can almost, in a sense, guarantee your base costs, you know, maybe your food, your medical and the like, and then use that living as an over and above. And, you know, as you're able to perhaps draw down more, you can benefit from that. And as perhaps markets get a little bit tougher, you can pull back. It gives you that flexibility, gives you that certainty, which really is going to be best of both worlds, you know, and sort of giving you that sort of sense of some security in retirement, because you make the point, your salary's now disappeared. This is all we have left.
Yeah, and those essential expenses that you talk about, we feel strongly about that. You should cover that with a secure income. And then, yes, the rest you can use within this remaining living annuity to spend or withdraw as you like, or maybe even have some legacy that you leave behind when you die one day.
Do we see? I mean, obviously, people would have had financial advisors during their working career, I mentioned up front, as they're building up to it. Do we find perhaps specialists in the annuity space where, you know, almost in a sense, and not being derogatory, but you know, you've had an advisor who's helped you grow it, but you perhaps need a different advisor, a different skill set for the annuity part of that process as you move into retirement?
Yeah, so for the last almost 15 years, living annuities have been very, very popular, far exceeding the popularity of life annuities. So I'd strongly recommend that you speak to an advisor that knows about both those product options, life and living annuities, or this blended type. And here at Just, we do exactly that. We're a retire income specialist, and in fact, we only really offer life annuities, but we've also recently made our life annuities available on other living annuity platforms. So it is really important to speak to your advisor and ask about those product options, because like I said, it's just such an important decision.
Yeah, it is an important decision, and I can't help thinking that oftentimes perhaps we get surrounded by salespeople rather than experts in the space, because it is going to be, it's going to be the single biggest money decision that we make as we sort of get those lump sums coming out of our retirement policies. Well, Ludwig, he is longevity actuary at Just SA. Appreciate your time this morning. That's it for today. You'll find us live every weekday morning at 6:30 a.m. on the MoneyWeb website, as well as the MoneyWeb app. Podcast on the website and the app, and of course, wherever good podcasts are aggregated, every morning from 7 a.m. Chat to us on the social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, hashtag MoneyWebNow. This show is proudly sponsored by FMI, a division of Bidvest Life Limited. Make your impact, protect your income first. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not reflect the views and opinions of FMI. Massive thanks to my team, Eddie and Cordora, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.